want to do. What you tell me to do. And that can't happen unless I hear your voice. And if I'm so frustrated that I don't want to obey, I'm going to give it to you anyway. Because it's too big for me. And I know it. And my willingness is an act of my free will. And I'm giving these issues to you that I've held on to that are too difficult for me. And I totally give them to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. I want to know that you are working through my ears, through my eyes, and through my heart. Because I'm hearing you. And I'm doing by choice, not emotion, to get to the victory that Jesus paid for on that tree for me. Amen? I want to take you to Romans chapter 3 because he's been pushing my buttons for 3 days on this subject. And I want to share a little bit about the word, and I'm using the Passion Translation because that was the press this morning. And I will be switching over to a book that I've had for years, Crowned with Oil, which is done by George W. Warnock. So keeping that in mind, we're going to go forward. We're going to start at verse 9 in chapter 3 of Romans. So are we to conclude that then that the Jews are superior to all others? Certainly not. For we have already proven that both Jews and Gentiles are all under the bondage of sin. And the scripture agrees, for it is written, there is no one who always does what is right. That takes care of your choices, right? So, you know you're related to a few people here. There is no one who always does what is right. Not even one. There is no one with true spiritual insight. And there is no one who seeks after God alone. All have deliberately wandered from God's ways. All have become depraved and unfit. Now, that kind of gives you a clue of where you are talking about each of us having issues that we don't want to talk about. And those are the things that are unfit. We don't want to talk about it because we've covered it up. Kindness has disappeared from them all. Not even one is good. Their words release a stench like the smell of death, foul and filthy. Deceitful lies roll off their tongues, and the venom of a viper drips from their lips. Bitter profanity flows from their mouths, only meant to cut and harm. They are infatuated with violence and murder. They release ruin and misery wherever they go. They never experience a path of peace. They shut their eyes to the awe-inspiring God. Now, we realize that everything the law says is addressed to those who are under its authority. This is for two reasons. So that every excuse will be silence, with no boasting or innocence. And so that the entire world will be held accountable to God's standards. For by the merits of observing the law, no one earns the status of being declared righteous before God. For it is the law
that fully exposes and unmasks the reality of sin. You know, for a long time, that piece of information was difficult for me to work with. Because I could see my weaknesses, but I didn't have a solution. And the enemy would use it against me, because that's what he does. He twists the word so that now, well, I'm doing all these things because it's the right thing to do, right? Plan ahead. Don't leave anything to doubts and excuses. Yet, the law was designed, all Ten Commandments, to expose and unmask the reality of sin. So now we go to 21. The good news reveals God's righteousness. Now I change the words because that's what it is. The gospel reveals God's righteousness. Verse 21. Now, independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible and brought to light through Jesus, the Anointed One. This is the righteousness that the scripture prophesied would come. It is God's righteousness that made visible through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in him receive that gift. For there is really no difference between us. For we have all sinned and are in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. Now, isn't that cool? God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over me, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated me from the guilt, punishment, and the power of sin. You say, well, that may be fine for them, but I don't know if I can receive this. You see, his gift of love and favor now cascades over me. I change the words because that's what happens. It needs to be personal, okay? All because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated me from the guilt, the punishment, and the power of sin. That's why I can take a day off and not feel guilty. Because the one that you're listening to is Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will cover your butt. I hate to use that expression, but he really will. And he'll educate you on how dictatorial you think you are and show you the depth of that dictation and how strong your soul is, how literally it wants to do what you did yesterday, and that is control. So if you want to step out of control, if you obey Holy Spirit, you're going to have a party. You'll go for the pizza shop and you'll have fun cleaning the backyard. You understand? So what God is after is a personal word to you and to me to have a good time every day to the best of our ability, even in the midst of the trials, even in the midst of the pain. There is still a victory if you keep your eyes on him and you ask, well, that person didn't do it right. Have I prayed for that person? Have I taken time out to lift them up before the Lord? Is there something I need to do, like a phone call and say, hey, can we go get pizza? Okay? Now, to the one who's already got their schedule all made out, that's not a gift. It becomes an irritation. Okay? What you really have, you know, the gift of love and compassion that Holy Ghost wants to give you, you reject it because you've got a plan. And your plan is definitely going to what? Cause you what? What's the plan going to cause you? You're going to go right back into you being in control. And then you wonder why he didn't pay your bills. Okay? Again, I'm going to repeat this. Actually, I'm going to back it up and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
this good news
of God's righteousness working on my case. Because now, independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible. And it's brought to light through Jesus, the Anointed One. This is the righteousness that the Scripture prophesied would come. It is God's righteousness made visible through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in him receive that gift. For there is really no difference between us. For we all have sinned. All have a need of God's glory. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness to me, his gift of love and favor now cascades over me, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, died on that tree. And he's liberated me from the guilt, punishment, and the power of sin. It has no more power when I expose it. And when I can't do anything about it, and I give it to him, he's going to change me. Because he loves me. Take a deep breath now. Say, I can choose to receive that word. Or I can reject it. It's up to me. Verse 25. Jesus' God-given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins, with an S. And now he is our mercy seat because of his death on the cross. We come to him for mercy, for God has made a provision for us to be forgiven by faith in the sacred blood of Jesus. This is the perfect demonstration of God's justice, because until now, he has been so patient, holding back his justice out of his tolerance for us. So he covered over the sins of those who lived prior to Jesus' sacrifice. And when the season of tolerance came to an end, only one possible way for God to give away his righteousness and still be true to both his justice and his mercy, to offer up his own son. So now, because we stand on the faithfulness of Jesus, God declares us righteous in his eyes. See, God declares me righteous in his eyes, but if I refuse it, what happens? If I dictate to say, well, I don't feel justified, then you're allowing your soul to stay in control, and you stay deceived. God doesn't want us in deception. God doesn't want us in deception and lies in order to stay in the torment. That's the enemy's work. Got it? Where then is there room for boasting? Do our works bring God's acceptance? Does my work bring God's acceptance? Not at all. It was not our works of keeping the law, but our faith in his finished work that makes us right with God. So it's an act of faith. It's really believing what Father has said is the reality that changes everything. And when we submit to him by his Holy Spirit, we'll begin to taste that truth as we purpose to believe and receive it by faith. So our conclusion is God's wonderful declaration that we are righteous in his eyes can only come when we put our faith in Christ and not in keeping the law. Now I'm going to switch over because I want to give you a little bit of insight that was given to this gentleman. I never had the opportunity to meet him, but my spiritual father did. And I want to take you to page 42 of his book, Crowned with Oil. And I believe that you're going to have, basically, you're going to find that we're basing all this material that's here on Romans 3. So it'll be helpful. That's why I went to Romans 3 first. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be appropriation or mercy seat. See, I've heard the word propitiation. It's like the word grace. It's a scripture type of word or a believer's type of word, but it's foreign to me. But if you look at the word mercy seat, it becomes something I can understand. Through faith in his blood, Romans 3:24 and 25, the word propitiation is translated mercy seat. And I thought, wow, what a wake-up call. Hebrews 9:5, and this refers to the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, which, it's the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, before which the high priest would stand one on the Day of Atonement when he went into the Holy of Holies. Here he would sprinkle the anointed blood on behalf of the children of Israel. And of course, it wasn't the blood of the lamb. It was the blood of the lamb, or a real lamb. Now Christ, our mercy seat, declares God to be just in remitting our sins. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, and I would add, that are present and tomorrow's as well. Through the forbearance of God, Romans 3:25, God forgave and remitted the sins of his people in a past day because of the sacrifices which they brought. But how could God be seen as a just God by accepting the blood of an animal for man's sin against his creator? Paul reminds us that it was because of God's forbearance. He looked ahead. And he saw Jesus on the cross, that he was able to remit sins. For he anticipated the day of the cross, when he would be fully vindicated and declared to be righteous in accepting the sacrifice of bulls and goats, which could never take away sins. But the apostle goes still further. To declare, I say, as this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Romans 3:26. Can we grasp the significance of this? We are saved because of the love and mercy of God. This is true, but God wants us to know that by virtue of the cross, we are justified. and declared to be righteous by a righteous decree of the judge of heaven. That little piece there changes the outcome. Notice again, God wants us to know that the virtue of the cross, we are justified or declared to be righteous by a righteous decree from the judge of heaven. Who's the judge of heaven? The Father. No earthly judge could do such a thing. He might pardon a criminal if that were within his just jurisdiction to do so. But if he did so, how could he show himself to be righteous in doing it? But so marvelous, so unsearchable are the judgments of God, so great and effectual was the work of the cross, that when God the judge declares the believer or the believing sinner to be righteous, by this very declaration, he is revealing himself to be totally just and righteous. And that wakes you up. And so the psalmist says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Psalms 85:10. You might want to really look that one up because it'll help you. Psalms 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In other words, when we totally submit to him, there's a process of grace and mercy that is going to manifest through you as you listen and obey him. Where did this happen? At the very mercy seat. And that is why on either end of the mercy seat, on the Old Testament, there were figures of the cherubim made of solid gold, facing each other, but looking down upon the sprinkled blood of the sacrifice. Mercy and truth have come together. The cherubim, which once were placed at the gate of Eden to bar man from the presence of the holy God against whom they had sinned, are now at the mercy seat to welcome sinful man back into God's presence. So you can see what they did at the beginning, and Adam and Eve were prevented from going. And then when the mercy seat is put before him, man now can say, I can actually cry out and God will receive me. This was the truth that was set the world aflame during the Reformation. Now, this part is probably the most important because we are living in a season of reformation about our country, about what's going on in the medical field that we talked about what's going on in those that obey and do what he says rather than what we feel. Okay? This was the truth that set the world aflame during the Reformation. When God, by his Spirit, began to bring to light the truth of justification that had become almost completely obscured from the eyes of men and encumbered with religious rituals and bondage. The just shall live by faith was the word that God made alive to Martin Luther. Only God, by his Holy Spirit, can make this to be a living revelation in the hearts and minds of men. Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment. I can remember a discussion group in a leadership meeting where the Roman Church had literally blackballed Martin Luther. But in the last part of the 1900s, they reestablished communications. And they forgave Martin Luther. Did they forgive themselves? They signed an agreement to work together. It took 500 years. Do you and I have 500 years again? Because of the next revelation, that without justification, by faith, which now the Roman church will accept. But 500 years, they stuck to their old pattern. Do we criticize them? No. That's as far as they could go. Well, what about the next revelation about the holiness of God? That was another piece of information that came to the body of Christ. And that brought division. Holiness is only in Christ. Well, it's all in Romans 3. See, if you're justified, you're also made holy. And yet, it brought division in the churches because they were controlled by, get it? They were controlled, and I don't want to fill in the blanks because I don't know, but I know my battle is not against flesh and blood. So there's garbage in the churches. And there's garbage in me. And there's garbage in you. Now, he'll deal with it when you give it to him. He'll deal with it in the church if you give it to him. He won't deal until you decide that you can't do it. I can't do this, God. I'm not comfortable. But I'm going to do anyway because I know it's you that's prompting me, so I'm going to obey. The just shall live by faith was the word that God made alive to Martin Luther. Only God, by his Holy Spirit, can make this to be a living revelation in the hearts and minds of men. And we need this revelation if we are going to walk in the righteousness of Christ. We need to know that those garments of his righteousness are freely for me. If we are going to have faith to put them on and wear them. Who about the accuser now? The accuser of the brethren. Now Christ is our high priest who bears our names before the thrones of the judgment in heaven, commending us to God and to his holy presence. But there is one who would persist in accusing us before God. Any clue who that is? If and when he has an opportunity. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem rebukes thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. That's Zechariah 3, verses 1 through 3. We can be sure that when the people of God set about the task of restoring the priesthood, they would have engaged the best tailors in Israel to make those priestly garments. We can be sure they would have put pure and, they would have been pure and clean. But Zechariah was a prophet, and God was showing him the high priest. As he saw him, God saw filthy garments. And this gave opportunity for Satan to accuse him before God. But one word from God was sufficient to silence the accuser. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? One word of rebuke from our intercessor in the heavens. See, when Jesus is the Lord of your life, if he rebukes the enemy, it's a whole different ballgame than you and I doing it. And we need to trust his ability to do that when you're standing in obedience to him. But if you stay in obedience to yourself and what feels good, what happens? No results. And you wonder why I don't see a change in myself. Well, it's because you have made the door and closed it. Okay? One word of rebuke from our intercessor in the heavens is all that is required to purge our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us, Romans 8:34. We glory in the fact that God has justified us freely by his grace. But God does not hand us holy garments to look upon and admire. And he answered and spoke unto those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment, Zechariah 3. Put off and put on, and I could go on. But I believe what you and I have to remember is the whole process should not, hopefully, take another 500 years before we get a change. All right? If we stay obedient in our commitment to the Lord and obey him to the best of our ability and stop going back into the guilt department, but to let him educate us on a one-to-one basis, because God's word says, my sheep hear. Come on. My sheep hear. And they know his voice. Now, when you first begin to do this, it's going to be shaky ground. Because your agenda is going to be a lot more powerful than sometimes you might realize. Okay? And it's going to be uncomfortable to do it anyway. But by choice of my will, I can go forward and let him bless me the way he has a plan to bless me, not the way that I plan to bless myself. Amen. Close your eyes and put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, I need your favor on this. Because I can't do it. So if you create the willingness and create the understanding, then I can go forward in obedience. Without your grace and favor, I'll probably remain the same. And I don't want to remain the same. I don't want to go back into guilt and condemnation. I have a right to say no more. And I say to the enemy and the accuser, the Lord rebuke you. You are a lying force. And you will not hold me back. Because Jesus is my Lord. And I am righteous. Because of what Jesus did on that tree for me. It was done for me. And he fills me with his love. And he heals my heart this very day. Even when I'm still afraid. I'll keep doing what God tells me to do. By his Holy Spirit. That's why Holy Spirit is in the earth. And he's doing a work. If I let him. It's up to me. I still have free will. If I want to go in reverse, he'll let me. But if I learn from going in reverse, then the grace will manifest to pick me back up and go forward. And forgive myself, for being stubborn, or being controlling, depending on the issue. Depending on the issue. Amen? I trust your grace by choice. In Jesus' name. Amen?